Hi, and welcome to episode 3 of the Leadership Educator Podcast. My name is Dan Jenkins, and I'm Chair and Associate Professor of Leadership and Organizational Studies at the University of Southern Maine.
And I am Lauren Bullock, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Temple University, and we are both excited for you to join us on the Leadership Educators Podcast. If you haven't listened to our trailer episode or the first 2 episodes of this podcast, I'm going to invite you to hit the pause button on this and then navigate back to those episodes so that you're clear on the why behind our work, as well as how we got to today's topic of how do you evaluate textbook and teaching resources.
Yeah, so what are the leadership textbooks that we might use in our classes and our programs? There's just so much to choose from what one of my colleagues sometimes refers to as the airport leadership books, all the way to those that have, you know, bibliographies that might as well be their own chapter within their textbook and everything in between. So I had an opportunity to do some research when I was in the first couple years of being a tenure track professor at the University of Southern Maine. And it was basically a kind of a copycat study of what I had done for my dissertation research, where I wanted to learn more about what leadership educators were doing in the classroom. However, when I did the undergraduate, when I did my doctoral study, I was only looking at faculty who had taught an undergraduate face-to-face class within the last 2 years, but I wanted to know more, and I also wanted to expand that that population. And so in 2013, engaged in a study that I've had been lucky to have published in a couple different forums based on different sample sets of that study that looked at both undergraduate and graduate faculty and those that had taught both face-to-face, online, and blended. And I also asked them, in addition to the instructional strategies that they used, what were some of the assessment strategies that they used, as well as the types of classes that they were teaching in, and most importantly for this episode, what were some of the textbooks that they used in those classes. And so, of course, it would vary by the type of course that you're teaching. If you're teaching a course on organizational theory, well, gosh darn it, I sure hope you're teaching or using a textbook that has something to do with organizations. If you're teaching a course on leadership theory, you certainly want to be looking at a textbook that includes some information and some scholarship and research on leadership theories, concepts, models, etc. But of course, there's many other reasons. There may be one particular model. For example, Kuznets and Posner's 5 Practices of Exemplary Leadership, which is actually the second most used textbook based on this research that I did. And that model is pretty well known within our field. You know, somewhere around 2 million people have taken the Leadership Practices Inventory, which is an assessment that goes along with that textbook, and they're actually in their 6th edition of that textbook since 1989, 87, something like that. I'd have to look it up. But you know, that whole model came from some conversations between Jim Kuznets and Barry Posner about, you know, looking for, you know, kind of like an overarching, you know, leadership, you know, model that you know, could be, you know, kind of ubiquitous, if you will. And so they interviewed hundreds of individuals and asked them about their, you know, their personal best leadership stories, and basically did a qualitative thematic analysis, and boom, you have the 5 Practices of Exemplary Leadership. And that's just one of the textbooks that individuals reported using most often.
I think one thing that's great about that is, you're right, it is very experienced. Don't want to say old, but it has been around for a long time. But the diversity, or the number of resources they've been able to create as a result of that initial book, is astounding. I mean, they did a special student leadership one. They've more recently done more about learning leadership and the truth about leadership. So while that seminal study definitely can hold its own weight, as they continue to explore that concept of that personal best leadership practice, there's so many other things that they're finding and sharing that we can bring into the classroom to teach with.
Yeah, that's right. So I think they're in their 2nd edition of the Student Leadership Challenge. And there's also a student version of that Leadership Practices Inventory, or LPI, which, you know, provides that, you know, kind of a rating scale of each of those 5 practices.
Yeah. And even then, to add on to that, they've got the books, but they also have apps as well as workbooks. So one of the things I find in my classroom is students want everything to be active and everything's got to be some kind of activity. And I'm like, why can't I just tell you this stuff and you believe me and just practice from what I tell you? But the cool thing is there's an app where you can put your goals in, you can align them up with the best practices, and then it helps you track that, as well as the workbooks turn it into and add to the reading a level of reflective thinking. So not just here's this practice, but how do you see this showing up in your work? And, you know, what are some of the things that you can do once you know your core values? And I even think it brings some of the cliched words out of the clouds and into reality. Like, how can I actually do something about this and feel like I'm moving the needle on my own leadership development? So I can see why it's such a popular resource, both in the classroom as well as in co-curricular programs, just because there's so much you can do with it.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the example activity that they share. I can't remember exactly which resource it is, but they do have a lot of instructors' guides resources. There's a leadership challenge activity book. There are some online resources from some of the more prior editions. Then there are the workbooks and the instructors' guides that go along with the student leadership challenge.
They also have cards too. So I use the values deck when I do training.
Oh, nice.
Practice involves understanding who you are as a leader and your core values. And so I will regularly with my students, you know, I'll say, what are your five values? And I'm like, oh yeah, and hem haw. By the end of that activity, they can say their five concrete values. And then more than likely, they can identify a bunch of times where they've seen those values show up. And I say, you know, when you get angry, like, can you see your values in that anger? And they're like, oh no, like it's leadership. We're not supposed to talk about anger. And I'm like, oh no, hold the phone.
That's the reason
why those things anger you is because they violate your values. And then we get into some great discussions about that, because it's like you can see the aha moments and the light bulbs come on for them. And I'm like, yes, I feel like I've done my job in this world if I can get those light bulbs to come on centered around that anger or that emotion. So.
That's right. Yeah. And so it is the student's experience that's really going to, you know, contribute to their understanding of it and, you know, creating those new connections in the brain. The activity that I was referring to in one of the leadership challenge activities guides or instructor's guides is actually to kind of turn around the model that Jim Kouzes and Barry Posner used to create the whole premise of their book, and to ask students, you know, can you, write for a minute or two about your personal best leadership experience. And so they'll write it down. And so I'll have those students share, and we'll put them up on, you know, flip chart or on the board or whatever. And if you have enough individuals, and they can look for themes and words and, you know, behaviors, whatever it is, you know, depends on how much information you want to get. But you can actually pull out the five practices from those stories. And sometimes, you know, you're certainly leading the witness a little bit, but because you know what you're, you know, you have that end in mind, but without fail, you know, and I've done this both with undergraduates, graduates, with, consulting, organizations that I've worked with clients and boards, we can get to model the way, inspire a shared vision, challenge the process, enable others to act, and encourage the heart without too much pain and suffering. So, and it is a great way to, you know, to start with, okay, this is why this is the model, and this is why we're going to, you know, dive into this textbook. Another activity I've used with that kind of turns that whole idea on its, upside down, where I actually have students observe someone that they work with for the course of the semester through the lens of the five practices and write about that over the course of the semester. And, you know, they start to really see those practices in action because they're watching their boss or their supervisor, and so that has been a very, really, really powerful assignment. But enough about the leadership challenge. So some of the other textbooks that we see, in fact, the one that has been used most often or was reported used most often in the study that I conducted was Peter Nordhaus's Leadership Theory and Practice. So it's in its eighth edition now. And I geeked out on this edition in particular because for the first time ever, there was a chapter on followership. And I thought, isn't that interesting? And had an opportunity to actually ask Peter about that at a conference at an Association of Leadership Educators conference where he was keynoting. Not sure what, if I got a really straight answer, he just said, yeah, well, it's important. Why wouldn't I put it in my book? Was the type of response that I got, but, I'd like to learn more about that and to, you know, to find out, you know, it's interesting what theories that, you know, they choose to include. Some kind of fall to the wayside. You know, there's no longer a chapter on the contingency theory of leadership. And is that because, you know, it's not utilized as much? Is that more, it's kind of coupled in now with situational leadership. And so it's not as if it's overlooked. It's just not its standalone chapter anymore. And, you know, adaptive leadership is now part of that. And so as the times change, you know, you hope that your theory textbooks respond. And that one certainly has. And that is the most widely used textbook that I found from my research. So
I agree. That one is a great book, especially if you don't know anything about leadership theory. Right. I knew about leadership development and had a good, strong background in it, but that book helps to clear it up. Meaning, you make some assumptions about followership or you make some assumptions about great man theory, but it's so detailed and well-researched that some of the assumptions that you may have are very much cleared up in that space. And it's cited, I think it's cited over like 1,000 times or something like that.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. And I think every practitioner, it's one of those books everybody should have on their shelf, practitioner or faculty member. It's one of those books you have to have on your shelf, especially as you teach those entry-level classes or do those opening workshops because of the depth and detail that's included. And if there are earlier versions, you know, maybe even having some of those earlier versions so that you can see the path that the research is taking. That was probably a good question though, or a good question to ask. Why did you remove contingency from the book?
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. No, I'd be curious. I think he's going to be, I think I'll see him at a conference, sometime this year. And perhaps if I can get a moment with him, I'll ask him. That is one of the, fun things. And in our previous episode, we talked about, the different, conferences and different professional associations. It's fun to be able to interact with some of the authors of the textbooks. I know that I'll see the Peter Nordhaus is presenting at this conference, the International Leadership Association's conference in Ottawa, which we'll be traveling to shortly here as well. The Courageous Follower is one of my favorite books, and I know that Ira Shalev is going to be in attendance and is going to be presenting based on the program that came out. As we talk about followership, that is one of the key scholars, both Shalev and Barbara Kellerman, who keynoted at ILA conference last year. Also, someone who has written quite a bit of leadership textbooks. So, in addition to Nordhaus's Leadership Theory and Practice, he also has a text called Introduction to Leadership Concepts and Practices, which is the smaller red one, as we call it. and so based on the research that I did, that was the fourth most used textbook. And again, it depends on what you're looking for. If it's an introduction to leadership class, just looking for basic concepts and theories and ethics and, focusing on self, focusing on others, focusing on the team or the organizations, it does do a great job, providing that. But to return back to the Leadership Theory and Practice book, I think it was Dr. Kathy Guthrie who had an opportunity to write a book with last year. She said that she used to carry a copy of it with her, and I'll hear from her if it's somebody else that told the story, but I swear it was Kathy. And she said she'd carry a copy with her and she'd give it to people at conferences, or maybe a couple copies. I can't remember, but if somebody was like, where can I go to get some more just like basic information about these things? She's like, you need this book. You need this Nordhaus book because it's so comprehensive. I love it from a teaching perspective because every chapter includes an assessment, a self-assessment that you can take, whether it be the least preferred coworker scale or the followership scale or questionnaire. So it's giving students an opportunity to dive into it from a different pedagogical approach, that mm-hmm. is more reflective in nature. And then in addition, each chapter has usually two or three case studies as well at the end of each chapter.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the case studies because I think that is one of the things that I find is changing in the classroom. Like I said, I could go up and just talk to the class or click through some slides. And now I find that I have to integrate activities more and more. Right. So can you talk a little bit about how you figure out the activities or assignments and things like that to do with your class to deepen that learning?
Yeah, certainly. So it really does, begin with starting with the end in mind. I think about the different instructor's guides that are associated a lot of times with some of these textbooks. I talk about being able to run into different authors at these conferences. So I remember sitting at my first ILA conference in 2010, and I look at the person next to me and his name tag reads Thomas Redd. And I thought, I use that book in my class, Leader's Companion, which is also one of the top 10 most used textbooks. And so there is a great online resource as well as a print offering of an instructor's guide for the Leader's Companion, which is a great, great book. Although it was written, almost 25 years ago, there's just so many great essays on servant leadership, on transformational leadership, on trait theory, on situational, you name it. It's just a great resource. But in addition to that textbook, Leadership for a Better World has an instructor's guide that's open access. Leadership Challenge, we mentioned, has lots of those resources. The book Leadership: Learning from the Lessons of Experience by Hughes, Jenner, and Kerfey, they've got a great instructor's guide. I can't remember if that's open source or if that's something that you get when you adopt that textbook from the publisher. There's also a great list of instructor's guides in some of these textbooks. If you go to Kathy Guthrie and myself, Jenkins' book in chapter 3, there's a whole chapter on leadership educator resources. The book is called The Role of Leadership Educators, Transforming Learning. And we went through and listed off just so many of these textbooks that have some great instructor's guides. And so that's a great place to start, as well as talking to your peers. What are some assignments that they found going to these conferences, listening to presentations that individuals have given, looking at conference proceedings from some of these conferences, specifically the Association of Leadership Educators. There are innovative practice papers that the association has been printing in their conference proceedings, I want to say since 2013 or 14, and they are literally activities. So many of those are activities that you can grab. Again, begin with the end in mind, have a purpose. What are the learning outcomes that you want, students in your course or program to get? But there are some great activities and assignments, that you can find from some of those resources.
That's an amazing wealth of information and knowledge to be had. It's nice, though, that you're able to take them and adapt them and make them work for your classrooms. Like I shared, I think, in an earlier podcast, I have an interesting mix of students. Some have never been a leader before. Others may be, the president of groups on campus. And when you have that variation in your classroom, you need to be able to address both. I've actually gotten a lot of help from my older son. So he is in his first year of college, but in high school, I would talk to him about leadership because of all of the answers, those seemed to be his best answers. And so some of that came from his love of Marvel Comics and how he watched those movies endlessly. And if you think back, a lot of those themes are related to what we talk about in leadership, maybe a little more traditional, more normative styles of leadership, but still great to teach those lessons. But he's been one that has always answered those questions I've had about, so tell me a little bit about how your teachers do this, or tell me a little bit about how, you've seen this. Like, I didn't know that high school teachers don't really use PowerPoints. And I'm like, every one of my colleagues like squares by PowerPoints, and that change in teaching style can be so drastic between your senior year and your freshman year. And so when I think about my activities and assignments, it's like, I still do have slides with information because I'm like, you clearly have to recognize and know this material. But more and more, those activities are becoming crucial to the learning experience. I love hearing that those resources are valued in higher education and they're becoming a part of the textbooks that we've used for so long. In my communicating leadership class, I use Leadership by Hackman and Johnson. And the reason I love that is at the end of every chapter, they have 10 things that you can do with your students in class related to that chapter. And so it's nice because you can take it and you can adjust it. And also you can share with the students. So if you want to deepen your own learning or you don't understand this chapter, try one of these 10 things in your own practice so that you can do it for yourselves. Don't rely on just me to teach you. And those are some of the skills I want them to carry with. So anyway. Been a good discussion about teaching resources and activities and topics. So I'm excited to hear more.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and it's all about, you know, meeting the students where they're at and giving them opportunities to, you know, become, you know, self-learners and, you know, pushing them to, you know, to learn how to learn. You know, I think about, and I talked about this a little bit in our prior episode about the text Exploring Leadership for College Students Who Want to Make a Difference. And that is, you know, that was the second most used third most used textbook based on the research that I conducted. And that is a great one for introductory college students, definitely more focused on the traditional age student, but loaded with great resources and case studies from the student experience, you know, as well as just great literature and scholarship and seminal texts and things of that nature. If you're, you know, move over to, you know, organizational leadership and courses that focus more on organizational theory, you know, the text Reframing Organizations by Bowman and Deal. If you had that in grad school, you might remember the four frames, the political, the human resource, the structural, and the symbolic. So that's a great text for that, as well as UCOL's Leadership and Organizations. And again, it just depends on what you're looking to teach. You know, I mentioned, you know, Kuzis and Posner, if you're looking for one particular, you know, theory or model, another text that scored high as far as frequency of use was The Practice of Adaptive Leadership, you know, in the Heifetz, Grasko, and Linsky textbook. And, you know, really, again, it depends on what it is that you're looking to teach, what's your end in mind, and then finding those, you know, instructional and assessment activities that are going to evaluate, you know, students' learning and, you know, what it is that you want them to be able to know or do.
Yeah, you make a good point. It depends on what you want to teach. Like The Practice of Adaptive Leadership is a great book if you want to learn about that leadership style. Just like I think it's George Lakoff does a lot of work around authentic leadership. Bruce mm-hmm. Aviola, mm-hmm. They do some work around authentic leadership. And then there's Greenleaf's servant leadership text. So even when you dig down into the specific theories, there's always, you know, even more resources to talk about and share.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, I also found from the research that many of the individuals that took my survey said, hey, you know what? I don't use a textbook. I use articles or open source. And so there's, you know, if you found a resource helpful when you were learning these concepts on your own, assign it to your students. I mean, within reason, you know, don't give them, 14 peer-reviewed articles from the Leadership Quarterly to read, you know, in a week or two, but, you know, supplement. There's nothing wrong with that, as well as, you know, for educational purposes, if you're able to grab a chapter or a case study or something like that from another textbook or another resource, you know, do it, you know, whatever you think is going to facilitate the best possible learning experience for your students. So, yeah. So that is a overview of what we've thought about and what we use when we're selecting our own textbooks, as well as some of the research out there of, you know, what are others doing in the field. And that wraps up our episodes. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey as we're becoming and being leadership educator podcasters. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this particular episode. We'd also like to thank the James M. Cox Jr. Institute for Journalism, Innovation, Management, and Leadership within the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Georgia, facilitated by a grant from Dr. Keith Herndon, William S. Morris Chair in News Strategy and Management.
You can connect with us on Twitter. I'm at @Dr_Leadership, and Lauren is at @MRSLAURJB.
Our wonderful theme music was composed, performed, and mixed by Dr. Matthew White, trumpeter, composer, and educator, and he's currently serving as associate professor of trumpet, coordinator of jazz and commercial music, and director of ensembles at Coastal Carolina University. Check him out at mattwhitejazz.com. Matt, thank you so much for sharing your musical genius with our audience. And finally, thank you to the Association of Leadership Educators. Check out what the ALE has to offer at leadershipeducators.org. We hope you will listen to our next episode wherever you get your podcasts.